Wasn't that good? You enjoy that? How many of you watch reality TV shows? Let me see your hands. And how many of you would admit it if you were not in church? One of the good things about watching reality TV, especially if it deals with families, is when you watch that show, you say, man, thank God, my family's not as jacked up and messed up as I thought they were. Well, we're going to look at a family today. It's like 4,000 years old, which is really old family. But we're going to look at them today. And they're a cross between the Adams family and the Osbournes. They've just got a lot of stuff going on. We're going to look at Isaac's family. Isaac, for the most part, is a prototype of Christ, but not here. He shows his humanity, and we're going to see them in bare bones today. So there are like three things I want you to see today. We're going to see either the people or the persons of the dysfunctional family. Then we're going to see the problems of a dysfunctional family. And then we're going to see the providence of God in a dysfunctional family. So for those of you who are taking notes, let me go ahead and tell you that by each name, let me give you what we're going to give you this morning in the outline. By Isaac, I want you to write down unspiritual. It sounds like an oxymoron because Isaac is such a big player in the scheme of God's salvation, but not today. He plays a totally out of character part. And then there's Rebecca, who is unsurrendered. Rebecca is gorgeous. She's like Sarah, Isaac's mother, absolutely beautiful. She was barren when she was 60. He prayed. She had children. She had two boys, Jacob and Esau. Jacob is unscrupulous. And we're going to begin to pick Jacob's life up today and follow him. And you're not going to believe some of the things he gets himself into and some of the problems he gets himself into. Esau is unsaved. And so here's what we do. We read these scriptures and we talk about them and then we try to apply them. So look at verses 1-4 with me again today. Now it came about when Isaac was old and his eyes were too dim to see, that he called his older son Esau and said to him, my son, and he said, here I am. One of the problems the family has is there's favoritism. I don't know if you had brothers or sisters and your mom and dad liked them better, but that's the problem here. Isaac loves Esau. Esau is a man's man. He loves to fish. He loves to hunt. He doesn't care much about homework. He's a man's man. Jacob, on the other side, is his mama's boy. Jacob is a sissy. And so there's favoritism in the family. So Esau is there with Isaac. Guys, Isaac is about to do something very stupid. Isaac is about to interfere with the promised line of Christ. And so look at verse 2. And Isaac said, behold, now I am old and I do not know the day of my death. I look forward to the day when I get old enough and I'm fastly approaching where I can say this to my son. Now, you're not always going to have your daddy. My mama said that to me from the time I was a little boy. She said, one day, son, I'll not be here. One day you'll turn around and I'll be gone. And sure enough, at 90, she finally left us. That's just a rite of parenthood. You get to a certain age and you say, I'm going to be gone pretty soon. He was his guy. But look at verse 4. And prepare a savory dish for me, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, so that my soul may bless you before I die. The blessing did not belong to Esau. The blessing belonged to Isaac, or to Jacob. And Isaac is about to mess up. And the reason that he wants to bless him is, he said, because he's hungry. His base nature, his passions are driving him in the things of God. Thank God we'd never be like that, huh? Thank God we'd never mess up our family because of something we wanted. Thank God we'd never vent our spleen when we got angry. We would hold it in and be under control. His passions are out of control, and all he wants to do is to eat. And here's what he's doing. He's creating in his family a culture of chaos. His brother is going to hate his brother. They're going to be alienated and separated. And he's contriving against the will of God, trying to circumvent God's will. He's about to make the largest mistake that a man can make. And then from verse 5 all the way down to verse 30, we have this interaction, first of all, between Rebekah and Jacob, and then Jacob and Esau. Look at verse 5. And Rebekah was listening while Isaac spoke to his son Esau. Now, remember, Sarah did the same thing. They eavesdropped. I used to think, because my wife used to tell me this, that women have eyes in the back of their head, and that's how they know everything. But the scripture says that's not it. They have ears on the side of their head, and they hear everything. And so she's listening, and she says to her favorite, her boy, "So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game to bring home, Rebekah said to her son Jacob," verse 6, "Behold, I heard your father speak to your brother Esau, saying," she's dividing the family. Isaac first did it, now she's doing it. Look at verse 7. Here's what he said. "Bring me some game, prepare a savory dish for me that I may eat and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death." So what do we do? Daddy's messing up. Daddy's going to try to circumvent the will of God. So what do we do? Do we go talk to Dad? No. Do we go talk to God about Dad? No. What do? We add sin to sin. I'm going to contrive against your daddy who is contriving against God. Look at verse 8. "Now therefore, my son, listen to me." Now watch this, guys, because here's what we're going to see. She's going to say that to Jacob on three different occasions. And on every occasion, she's wrong. And he's going to get his life twisted and in a mess because rather than listening to God, she says, "Listen to me. I'm going to command you, listen to me." Here's a guy, by the way, who's older than 40. And she's wrapping him around her finger. Look at verse 9. "Go to the flock and bring me the choice kids from there that I may prepare them as a savory dish for your father, such as he loves," because nobody knows Isaac like Rebekah. Verse 10, "Then you shall bring it to your father that he may eat so that he may bless you before his death." Doesn't need to happen. God's already chosen Jacob. It doesn't need to happen. You don't need to mess over your family because God's going to do what God's going to do. Verse 11, "And Jacob answered his mother Rebekah, 'Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man.'" Now, you know what he's saying? He says, "Mama, he's going to kill me. I could not bust a grape in a fruit fight, and if you let him do this, he's going to wear me out." And so Jacob says, "Do you understand the predicament you're putting me in?" And he tries to confess in verse 12, but he won't repent. "Perhaps my father will fill me, and I shall be as a deceiver in his sight, and I shall bring him upon myself a curse and not a blessing." Now watch this. To confess with something means I agree with it and I admit that it's wrong. He's confessing, but he's not repenting. Repenting says, not only is it wrong, but watch this, I'm not going to do it. And he's stopping short because his mom has put him in a total predicament. Look at what the Bible says in verse 13. "But his mother said to him," watch this, this is unbelievable, "'Your curse be on me, my son,' second time, 'only obey my voice and go get them for me.'" I want to be very frank with you. I think Rebekah's precious, but she don't have a clue what she just said. "Let the curse of God be on me." She's not in the right place to do that. She's not the right person to do that. She doesn't want to take that, but you do what I say. So, verse 14. "So he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory food such as his father loved." Verse 15. "Then Rebekah took his best garments of Esau, her elder son, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son." Not only did she fix his food to take to his father, but she dressed him. Hey, guys, look here. If you don't have jurisdiction over your wardrobe, you're in real trouble. And we say stuff like this all the time. "Hey, did your wife dress you today?" And if guys, if you ever get stuck in the mall, you're backslidden and get stuck in the mall with your wife, and she meets up with a friend, they will talk about you in the third person, like you're not there. Isn't that true? How's he doing? And you're like, hello, I'm right here. And so she dresses him. Mama dresses him. Not good. Not going to turn out well. Verse 16. Verse 16 all the way down through verse 20, there are a number of lies told. Remember what he's done? He's created a culture of chaos and confusion in his family. Rebecca's gotten in on it. Now watch the lies and the contriving and the scheming. And she put the skins of kids on his hands and the smooth part of his neck. She also gave the savory fruit and the bread which had been made to her son Jacob. Now watch what he did. Then he came to his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I. Who are you? Are you my son? And Jacob said to his father, now watch the lies. Watch him. I am Esau, your firstborn. That's a lie. I have done as you told me. That's a lie. Get up, please, said, and eat of my game that you may bless me. Two more lies. Verse 20. And Isaac said to his son, how is it that you have so quickly, my son? How did you do? I mean, we just talked. I just saw you walk out the door with your bow and arrow. How did you do it? And here is Isaac, who is blind now. How do you trick a blind man? Because why would you do it? But his other senses are going to kick in. His sight is gone, but he hears well, apparently. And he smells and he senses and he feels. So what is he going to do? Look at verse 20. And Isaac said to his son, how is it that you've done so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord your God. And watch what else he does. He invokes the name of God in his lie. When I was a kid, I used to hear this all the time. People would take the name of God and blaspheme it like this. They would say, I'll swear on a stack of Bibles. Really? You would do that? Or I swear by God. Really? And that's exactly what Jacob has done. He's brought God into his lie. Verse 21. Then again, Isaac said to Jacob, please come close that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau. Now, he doesn't buy it. He doesn't believe it. He says, you just left. This is not right. Verse 22. So Jacob came close to Isaac, his father, and he felt him, and he said, the voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. Now, that's a big deal. That is called the prophetic blessing that was given from the father to the son. And it wasn't wishful thinking, because the father on his deathbed, and Isaac had a mint because Abraham had left him everything, the father on his deathbed would give the firstborn son. Now remember, Esau was firstborn, but God said that the older is going to serve the younger, and so he blesses him. That is a large, large deal. But he still doesn't believe it. Look at verse 24. And he said, are you really my son Esau? And he said, I am. And he just keeps contriving, scheming, lying. Why would he do that? Verse 25, so he said, bring it to me that I will eat my son's game and I will bless you. And he brought it to him and he ate and he brought wine and he drank. And look what his father did, because here's the kiss of Judas. Here's the betrayal. Then his father Isaac said, verse 26, please come close and kiss me, my son. So he came close and he kissed him. And when he smelled his garments and he blessed him. And he said, see, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Now, here's the blessing. It is a blessing of material blessings and spiritual blessings. Verse 28 and 29. Now, may God give you the dew of heaven and the fatness of earth and the abundance of grain and new wine. You're going to be prosperous. Just like I'm prosperous, Abraham was prosperous, you're going to prosper. He said, may people serve you and nations bow down to you. And they did, and they do. Ask the Jew about Jacob and see what he tells you. But not only did Jews bow to Jacob, he goes on and he says, the Gentile. Did you know that when we bow to Jesus, when we worship Jesus, when we sing like Terry sing those songs about Jesus, did you know we are bowing to a Jacobite? Every Jew who bows to Jesus bows to a Jacobite. Every Gentile who bows to Jesus bows to a Jacobite. And he goes on and he tells them, the blessing has been stolen. Look at verse 30. Now it came about as soon as Isaac had finished the blessing of Jacob, and Jacob had hardly gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in. Imagine that. It's like a sitcom. One guy goes out one door, another guy comes in another door, and he says, "Hey, Dad, I've got the meat, I've got the food, I've got the wine. Let's sit down and eat." Watch what happens. Verse 32. And Isaac his father said to him, "Who are you?" "Who am I?" "I'm your favorite son. We hunt together, fish together, play ball together, go to the Braves games together, race chariots together. I'm Esau." Look at verse 33. Then Isaac trembled violently. His body is reacting to the consequences. He's reaping what he's sown. By the way, the consequences for Isaac came very quickly. They won't always for us. You think, "Well, man, I've been doing this stuff and nothing's happened." It will. It will. Sometimes consequences come very quickly. And his body has a reaction. He's been exposed. His character is unraveling. And his body is... That is, by the way, a very healthy thing for a believer. For if you're an Isaac, if you're of the nation of Isaac, it's very healthy when we tremble because of our sin. And we repent because of our sin. Look at verse 34. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceeding great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me." But the blessing's gone. He can't bless him. Why? Because he blessed Jacob. And there was only one blessed to be given. Look at verse 35. And he said, "Your brother came deceitfully and has taken away your blessing." Then he said, is he not rightly named Jacob? "For he has supplanted," that's what the name Jacob means, supplanter. "He has supplanted me two times. He took away my birthright. And behold, now he has taken away my blessing." And he said, "Have you not reserved the blessing for me?" Now here's the truth of the matter. Jacob didn't take it. Esau gave it to him. Like father, like son, he got hungry. He was out in the field. He'd been hunting all day and he came home one day and Jacob was cooking some stew. And he said, hey, how hungry are you? If you really are hungry, give me your birthright." And Esau, the Bible says, Hebrews 12, he's a profane man. He's an ungodly man. He has no room for God. The Bible said he gave him his birthright. He gave it over to him. He didn't take it from you. Like some of you guys having a car of $75,000. If you do, I want to talk to you about that later, but if you do, you've got a car that cost you $75,000 and somebody comes along and says, "Listen, I'll give you $2,500. And you say, "Okay, I'll take it." And then you say, "Man, they took me to the cleaners." No, fool, you got taken to the cleaners by your own car. That's what happened. Verse 37. But Isaac answered and said, "Behold, I have made him your master. And all his relatives I have given to him as servants, and with grain and new wine I have sustained him. Now as for you then, what can I do, my son?" And here's what he says. He says, "Bless me." And he says, "I can't, but I'm going to tell you what's going to happen." And look at what happened. Verse 39. Then Isaac his father answered and said to him, "Behold, away from the fertility of the earth shall be your dwelling, and away from the dew of heaven from above. And by your sword you shall live, and by your brother you shall serve. And it shall come about when you become restless, then you will break his yoke from your neck." There's no blessing, there's a curse. What happened? Verse 41 said he bore a grudge. Now here's what happened. He begins with a bitter spirit, and he stays bitter all of his life. He's a victim, he never repents. He never sees his wrong. He just stays bitter, and it progresses. He goes from bitterness to murder. And here's what he says. He says, "My father is almost dead. And the day my father dies, I'm going to kill my brother." And he takes that grudge with him. And here's what you see, it's kind of a transformation in Esau, Jekyll and Hyde. When he holds the grudge, he's really mad. But when he gets to thinking about killing his brother, he gets really happy. Hey guys, we live in this culture that says, if I can only be happy. There's a very dark side to that. We were all shocked earlier this year when the body of Kaylee Anthony was found. And we were more shocked when we heard this. The baby probably died because somebody just wanted to be happy. Somebody just wanted to party and not be encumbered with a 3-year-old. And if I can just be happy, if this baby were just gone, if I didn't have her, so if I put her in a trunk and give her some chloroform where she sleeps while I party, if I can just be happy. Wow. Wow. Unbelievable. Be careful, because your happiness can lead you to a very, very dark place. Now, here's what happens. He's going to kill his brother, which makes him extremely, extremely happy. And if you have a younger and older brother, you may feel the same way. Look at how Rebekah reacts. Totally dysfunctional family. Now, when the words of her elder son Esau were reported to Rebekah, she sent to call her younger son Jacob and said to him, "Behold, your brother Esau is consoling himself and he's going to kill you." Now, third time, obey my voice. Hey, you would think that Jacob would say, "You know what, Mom, first time didn't work. Second time didn't work. Third time, you're gone. I'm not going to do it." But he doesn't. Look at verse 43. "Now therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise, flee to Haran, to my brother Laban." Now watch this, watch this. In a few weeks we'll get here. If you think Jacob is a schemer and a trickster and a supplanter, and he is, you wait till he sees his uncle Laban. Because his uncle Laban, Esau is like JV. Jacob is like varsity, but Laban is NFL. And he's going to school him, and he's going to go to work for him. And here's what he's got. He's got a beautiful daughter named Rachel. Remember that story? And he's got another daughter who's named Leah, and she ain't so sweet. She's got a bad eye problem. She's got like a lazy eye. And so Laban tricks Jacob. Jacob lays down one night, thinks he's laid down with Rachel, wakes up the next morning with Leah and goes, "Ah!" You're going to reap what you sow, man. And whatever you're sowing today, you go, I don't care who you are. You can be a Jacob. And so here's what happened. Rebekah becomes a real drama queen. And she says, "Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do." That's how she talked, like that. "I don't know what I'm going to do. And if Jacob goes off and he marries a woman like me, a woman from Heth, oh, it will be the death of me." And you want to say, "Rebekah, please, you're a wackadamia nut. Shut up." And here's what happens. In chapter 28, the first 6 or 8 verses is the next 20 years. Esau has already married 2 godless women. They said, "Esau, please don't do it again." He goes off and he says, "You don't tell me what to do. I'll do what I want to do. Leave me alone." And he marries more ungodly women. And she never gets to see her grandchildren because she dies and Jacob is gone for 20 years. The people. Look at the problem. What are the problems? Watch this and see if this is not where some of us are. Isaac is passive, and Rebekah is aggressive. Jacob is deceptive, and Esau is impulsive. Now watch this, guys. Watch this, men. Let me speak to the men for a moment. Men, God calls you to lead. Listen, not dominate, not dictate, not lord. God calls you to lead your family. What happens to men is this. We become passive. Especially, we will pass the buck in spiritual things. And so what happens is, if you're married to a Rebekah, Rebekah becomes more and more aggressive. And you say, "Well, if I don't become aggressive, nothing's going to happen." Let me give you a word of advice, girls. If you're becoming aggressive because he's passive and he's shutting down, you let nothing happen. Let him bear the load of it. If he's not leading the family, you do what you need to do spiritually. But if he's not leading the family, you don't take the burden on. You let the burden be on him. Because here's what happens. We start role reversal. She becomes aggressive. He becomes passive. She becomes masculine. He becomes more feminine. And you can see it in him. He says, I'm old, I'm dying, I want to be left alone, I just want something to eat, I want to eat, I want to sleep, woe is me, poor me, nobody cares about me, I'm just going to lay down and die and eat dirt. Poor old Isaac. And some of you ladies are married to that man. And you're saying, yeah, but somebody's got to get it done, so I'm going to roll up my sleeves, I want to get pumped up, and I'm going to do it. Listen, for the sake of your children, don't do it. Let the burden of responsibility fall on him. Jacob is deceptive. And we're going to see in the coming days, God have to run Jacob down, because he just does stupid stuff. One thing after another, just dumb, stupid stuff. And God runs him down, and finally one night, God wrestles with him. And how many of you know, you ain't going to win that match, dude. You can be Hulk Hogan, you ain't going to win. And Esau just runs and is mean. And here's what you find out about them. They never talk to one another. He didn't bring the family. It's secretive. Everything's a secret. Yeah, I'm going to buy the car, but you don't need to know the details. Yeah, we're going to move into this house. Yeah, we're going to move from Atlanta. Yeah, I'm going to take this job. Everything is secretive. And so they alienate. He takes his boy Esau. She takes her boy Jacob. And they alienate. They divide and they conquer their family. They don't talk. Dysfunctional families don't talk to one another. We become passive men. And your wife will say, you don't talk to me. Matter of fact, she'll say that all the time. I tell my wife, you talk to me when I'm not listening. She doesn't think it's funny. But she's not in here this service, is she? They don't talk to one another. They're all sinners, but they're all victims. It's not my fault I'm Isaac. I'm old. It's not my fault I'm Esau. He robbed me of my birthright. It's not my fault I'm Jacob. I do what Mama tells me to do. It's not my fault I'm Rebecca, and Isaac will not lead. Please, somebody get a handle on this family. But they don't do it. And they go out with confusion and chaos and corruption in the family. Third thing is this, the providence of God. What role does the providence of God play in all of this? Let me ask you three questions and we'll be through. Watch this. Question number one. Does God ordain or decree their sinful acts? In other words, does God make them act like they're acting? The answer is obvious, isn't it? No. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Second question. If God does not decree it, does God allow it to happen? Yes. You say, well, I'll tell you, man, I'm going to go do this thing, and if it's not sin, I want God to stop me. You have a free will. You don't have the final will. God does. But you have a free will. If you choose to do something that you know is wrong, and you deliberately choose to do it, God's going to allow you to do it. He's just going to allow you to do it. You're going to suffer the consequences of it. Family members are going to suffer. Friends are going to suffer. Associates, they're going to suffer. But if you want to do it, if you want to lie, scheme, cheat, and all the other things, God's going to allow it. Third question. Does God work all things for His good? Think about that for a moment. Even sin, even stupid stuff, even wicked, evil stuff that we do. Does God allow that to happen? Yes. And can He turn it around for His good? Even stupid stuff, yes. Romans 8:28 says, for those whom God loves, He takes the meat of our life, the flour of our life, the sugar of our life, the salt of our life, the eggs, the milk of our life, and He puts it all together, and by His divine plan, God can turn even our evil for His good. Listen to this truth. Not everything that happens is the will of God. But God, being God, can use it for good. Isaac meant evil, so did Rebekah, so did Jacob, so did Esau. And yet they, as hard as they tried, did not circumvent the will of God. And God, being God, can use it. And that's the way it is in your life. Because Jesus, who came and died on the cross for Jacob, for Esau, for Isaac, and Rebekah, has placated the wrath, the anger of God. And we can have forgiveness because of His mercy and because of His grace. Well, don't you feel better now about your family? And you ought to go out here saying today, hey, my boy's not as bad as I thought he was. Let me pray with you. Father, there's some of us in here today who've acted like Isaac. Forgive us. Some of us who've acted as Rebekah, Jacob, and Esau. God, forgive us. My prayer today is for men who are here who would take a role of responsibility in their homes. That's a God-ordained role. Not be fuzzy about the lines or confused about what your will is as it relates to their wives and to their children. For women in here today who've just felt beaten down by a man, are just stressed out and frustrated by someone who won't lead, I pray your Spirit would give them a sweet, sweet, sweet calm in their spirit. Pray for those who are Jacob, who are running and sowing seeds of deception. God, you would chase them down. And for the Esaus who don't know Christ, may today be that day of salvation for you. Hey, congregation, look right here. Would you stand with me just for a moment? This is what we call in this church an invitation. If you have issues that God has brought to light in your life, we have pastors who will pray for you. We have leaders like deacons who will pray for you. If there are things going on that we can pray for you about today, if there are some guys here who say, man, pray for me that I won't be like Isaac. I want to act like Isaac acted in this chapter. Or I won't do the deceptive things like Jacob did, or the mean things like Esau did. Pray for me. And there'll be folks here today who are glad and willing to do that for you. Worship with us now as we sing this song. You have been so